Titus chapter 1, starting at Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. I thank you for the promise of eternal life. Lord, that you, in your mercy, made a way for us, though fallen from you, though your enemies at heart, you made a way that we might be saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, our Lord. And God, we thank you and praise you that we can put our faith in what you have done for us and be born again, be regenerated by your Spirit, and have the hope, this hope of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. And dear God, and on that same ground, Lord, I ask for your mercies tonight. I ask for the filling of your Spirit to minister the word to your people and help us as we prepare for the ministry of the Fair Booth and just for our ministry as a witness, God, to you. Help us in that. Fill my dear wife with your Spirit, the nursery, and we thank you for the word that's gone forth here in this place and the good time of fellowship we had around your word this morning and just been it's a wonderful time together. And so, Father, continue to help us and use us all here in this place and help us to glorify your name. Lord, might when that trumpet blows, might we be found faithful, might we be found serving you, might we be found still drawing closer to you. Might we be found continuing in the things that we have heard and learned and seen in those who have followed you before us. And so, Lord, help us in these things. Glorify your name tonight. Edify your church. And, dear God, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Charles, would you get me a glass of water, please, sir?
Brother Brian, sir, would you please make sure every adult gets one of those?
So the theme of our Fair Booth is, and the title is, Three Things That God Cannot Do. And it's a good attraction because a lot of people, you know, God can do anything. It's like, well, no, there's three things the Bible says God cannot do. And, it kind of draws people in if they're not familiar with these passages. And if you have, some of you, I think most of you saw our setup back there. I had it back on the table back there. Brother Dennis is getting it all fixed up now. He's got it home, getting it fixed up, ready to go again. But it looks like it's nice finished oak, I believe it is. It's got the three doors on it, and I think that's the order that they're in. The first door is I'm Lord. I changed. I think it goes in the order of the Bible. Anyway, that's what's behind the three doors. So what we're doing is, as people are walking along, as we've actually had some people come up and. A couple say, "Oh, are you?" Brother Dennis made it so nice. Said, "Are you selling kitchen cabinets?" And they're looking at it. But that was kind of funny. But there's three doors there, and so you got folks walking by, and you're standing out there and trying to catch their eye. Don't always have to wait until you catch their eye, but if you catch their eye, have you seen the three things that God cannot do? And they may come walk toward you. You may go, walk toward the first door, so you can kind of invite them in. And those that will come and look at it, you can let them open up. If you want to open up the first door there, and the first door says there that he says, "For I, Lord, I change not." So the first thing that God cannot do is God cannot change. And of course, we know that means it's talking about his character. In his nature, it cannot change. He cannot change. So he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And then just invite him, you know, to open up the second door on the display there. And it, Titus 1:2, we just read, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. So there's the second thing that God cannot do, is he cannot lie. And invite them to open the third door. Here's the other thing, is God cannot let anyone into heaven unless they are born again. And of course, John 3:3 goes, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we have God changes not, he cannot lie, and he cannot let anyone to heaven unless they are born again. Now, pretty much all you need is right on these notes. I've got the same thing you've got right there. So if you want to make a few notations along there, if something comes to mind, you can do that. But this will get you through it. You learn this and you'll be okay as far as talking with people. So just invite them in to come look at the board. And then the bridge. You want to shift from the display to be able to go to the Romans Road. And so we have a bridge. I have a bridge written on here. And let's see. Let me get my water out of the way and get my board up here where I can reach it. So the bridge. So we read John 3:3 that says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So just to make a quick bridge, just put down, born again means to be saved and to know for sure that you're going to be in heaven. Okay? That brings you right up to your Roman. There you go. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven when you die? And so now you've just set yourself up to go right into the Romans Road. Okay? Now, I'd recommend... if you haven't purchased one, a little New Testament like this is a great soul-winning Bible. It's easy to handle. You got a big Bible; it's kind of bulky, and instead of this many pages, you know, you got that many pages. And if you have just a regular Bible, that's all you have, or what you want to use, that's fine. I just recommend getting a New Testament, and you can use that for soul winning. Use it for the fair. It's nice to have. If you have a regular Bible, that'll work too. This will be easier for you. Okay. Now you might want to, on this, the verses that we have marked on this outline, you go ahead and highlight those in your Bible, because you know where they're at. But that person looking at it, they're doing this. You know, they can't see where they're at. So go ahead and highlight those verses in your Bible. One thing I found when we make this transition. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Would you go to heaven? Most of you get, well, I hope so, or I think so. And what I like to do is then you go right into it. Well, the Bible says you can know for sure that you go to heaven. Now, as I am telling them that, I have my Bible. That's where I start every time. I'm opening up my Bible. Well, the Bible tells you, and I'm putting it, getting it right to where they can see it. The Bible shows you that you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Because how many people do they hear say the Bible says? Probably the JWs, probably. There's probably a lot of cults that say the Bible says, or it says in the Bible. And they may not believe, you know, us any more than them. It adds a little something when you actually have the scripture open and looking at it. It adds a little something. So I just begin, you know, well, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. And I point out 1 John 5:13 there. That's your verse that gets you in there. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that what? Ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. So sometimes I'll say after that, so the Bible tells me that I can know I have eternal life. By the way, we believe what? The Bible is our final authority, amen? I like to say the Bible says, or the Scripture says, or it says in the Bible, and because that's where we always go. But it's all put out there very simply for you. And so that's your transition. That's how you get to the Romans road. Now, so the Bible shows you that you can know you have eternal life. Can I take a minute and just show you in the Scriptures how you can know you have eternal life? Notice that I gave them a choice. There are some soul winning plans that they'd never let you do that. Don't you just ride them right on through? Well, I'm not there, okay? Can I take a minute and show you how you can know you have eternal life? You know, if they say yes, we'll have a table there. Then we're going to sit down with them and just take them through the Romans road and show them how they can know they have eternal life. Well, no, not at this moment. I'm busy or maybe late or whatever. Then you give them a track. Then you give them one of our tracks. The things that I was going to share with you are right in here. I hope that you read that. You know, they'll show you how you can know you have eternal life. Okay? You're done. If they don't want to listen, if God's working on them, God's working on them. Amen? If they're not yielding to God, they're not going to yield to us, folks. Okay? And so just be lovingly kind, be prayed up, amen. Be prayed up and looking for God to work. And so you ask them. So they want to hear and they're willing to sit down with you. You begin then in your Romans Road presentation, so you can tell them. Here's how you can know. I'll just give you the ABCs of salvation. The ABCs of salvation. And then you go to Romans 3:10. As it is written, what? There's none righteous. No, not one. Sometimes I might say, and you don't have to add anything in between these if you don't want to. What you have is sufficient right there. Sometimes I'll just go back and forth with them. So how many is righteous according to the Bible? None. None righteous, no, not one. And then we go, the next verse that we use on the Romans Road is Romans 6:23a. Notice I said A because it's the first half of the verse that we use. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Actually, that might be that whole verse, isn't it? Romans 3:23. Because being justified freely is verse 24. So that doesn't have to be A. That's Romans 3:23. All have sinned is A. For all have sinned, that's A, and come short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned. And now, a brief definition of that. To come short of the glory of God means we've not kept God's commandments. Pretty simple, huh? We don't measure up to God's standards, if you want to kind of make it line up with the idea of coming short. We don't measure up to God's standards. None of us have kept what? All the commandments all the time, if we're honest with ourselves. So sufficient to say, to come short of the glory of God means we've not kept God's commandments. Where do we go from there? There's a penalty for sin. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23a, what? For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Little explanation there. Wages is something we earn. What we earn for our sin against God is death. This verse is not just talking about physical death. Even Jesus, who never sinned, notice we're teaching him something about Jesus along the way here. Notice Jesus, who never sinned, died a physical death. It is also talking about a second death. And I use the second death there because that's the term the Bible actually uses about the second death. Now, you could call this, I guess, a modified Romans Road, because I take some of the verses. There's some verses that are more clear outside of Romans that describe what Romans is talking about. And for that, Revelation 21:8. It's also talking about a second death. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and what? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the what? Second death. That's what we deserve for our sin. That's what we earn for our sin. All right, now I'm still going to describe Revelation 21a a little bit more. It's the end of the verse says, and all liars, what? Shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And to kind of get them to understand this a little bit, how many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? Just one. All right? In God's eyes, who cannot lie? We just saw on our board here, right? He cannot lie. He can't even fathom why someone would lie. In God's eyes, who cannot lie, how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Just one. And there's many ways you could add to that if you want. What you have is sufficient. Just one. If I was standing here and I've told a lie and God's here, you get to pick one. Pick the liar out of the two. Who's the liar? Me, right? Me. And if you were there, it would be you. If they were there, it would be them, okay? Man is the liar. Yea, let God be true, what? And every man a liar, the Bible says. You only have to tell one lie to be a liar. And here, we're going to see where they're at in what they believe, okay? If this were all the Bible says about eternity, where would you have to go when you die? Now you're going to find out whether they're getting what you're saying, whether they're taking in what you're putting out, okay? Now, they might say, hell, the lake of fire, both those are good. I've added this. I haven't always asked this next question. I think it's a good one, though. Do you believe that? They might just be following along because it's obvious that the Bible says that. Well, I'll repeat what the Bible says, you know. I just fill in the blank the way the Bible says it is maybe what you're looking for. They may be thinking that way. So, where would you have to go? Hell, do you believe that? No. Where do you go from there? What are you trying to get them saved from? If they don't believe in a hell, what's the sin? And by the way, we're not even going into the definition of hell. Even people who don't believe that hell is eternal many times believe in a lake of fire, but that when you get thrown in there, you're just disintegrated. If you don't believe that there's a hell, that there's a lake of fire, like Revelation 21:8 says, in one way or another, you're certainly not a Bible believer, because the Bible very clearly says that. You may have different interpretations of what that is. We believe it is an eternal lake of fire, like the Bible says. But if you don't believe in that, then what? You're not believing the Bible. And so I wouldn't feel that I would have to go any further if they said they didn't believe that. Hopefully they will say yes. So the A, B's, and C's of getting saved. The first was admit you're a sinner. That was that last stuff we just went through. Got to recognize we're sinners. And we're worthy of hell. Now we're going to go to the second part. The B is believe the gospel. Romans 1:16. There's that great verse. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God, what? Unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I think I missed a backup here. Okay, yeah. So, continuing here, going to the next point. So they said they believe they're going to go to hell. So we've seen the bad news about our sin. You know, we stop there. If this were all the Bible says, where would you go? They'd go to hell. Do you believe that? Yes. Now we're going to transition. Now we have seen the bad news about our sin. Now let's see the good news. By the way, the gospel means good news, okay? Let's see the good news. The good news about how you can have your sins forgiven and know for sure you'll be in heaven. And so now you're going to give him the good news. And so we saw Romans 1:16, that we have to believe. The good news is we have to believe the gospel. We're on the B now. Admit you're a sinner, believe the gospel. Romans 1:16, there it is. You got to believe the gospel. You can mark that in your Bible, that verse there. And where do you find the gospel in the Bible? Very clearly, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. You'll find it. And Paul says what? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And at the end there, at the end of verse 3, and verse 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's what we have to believe or trust in. That's another thing to remember. The Bible word believe means to trust in, okay? Because what are you trying to persuade them to do when you're witnessing? To trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for the forgiveness of their sins, okay? So you get that there. And I kind of explained that real quickly this morning, the rest of that passage there. I'll do that again tonight just in case you're a little foggy on what that is. He says, moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, obviously, which you also have received, and wherein you stand. They received it what? By faith. They believed it. And they stand in the gospel. They're saved. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. If they keep preaching that same gospel, more people will be saved. You see what I'm saying? If they believe the right gospel, they're saved. If you keep remembering that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If you're not believing what Paul preached unto them, what? You're believing in vain. Remember, because later on, he's going to find out some of them are saying there's what? No resurrection from the dead. Remember that? And so what he's saying is, if you keep in mind what I told you, then you're believing that, then you're saved. But if someone else has crept in somewhere and added something to it, that's not what I told you. If someone said, you know, well, yeah, there's no resurrection from the dead, that's not the gospel, of course. And you'll find that later on in Corinthians. So he says, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Add to it or take away from it, it's not going to work. And then he says right there, verse 3, for I what? Delivered unto you, first of all, that which you also received. And he's very clear about the message right there. There's the whole of it. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, you don't have to go into any of that detail. You can go right from verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel, skip down there to the end of verse 3 and verse 4 if you want. They may be just soaking it in. You don't need to explain things unless you feel led to explain things by the Spirit. Unless they may ask about that something, you may feel led to, you know, to explain something to them. By the way, if they ask something, I have the answer for every hard question that they can ask. Okay, don't worry, got the answer right here. Doesn't matter what they ask, what they say. It doesn't matter. Here's the answer for every hard question. That's a good question. When I get done showing you this, remind me of that and we'll talk about it. Got it? What we do? We shoved it aside, okay? We didn't dismiss them. That's a good question. Remind me of that. Let me finish what I'm showing you. Just remind me of that when we get done and we'll talk about it. Okay? Well, you just shoved it aside. We don't want to talk about evolution before we get to the gospel. We don't want to talk about, you know, what about the people that have never heard? And we don't want to do that. Whatever they ask, put it aside in that way, okay? Remind me of that when we get done. And by the way, 99% of the time, if God's working, they're going to forget about that. They're not even going. By the time you're talking, they're realizing that the salvation is a free gift. They can trust Christ as their Savior. That's not an issue anymore. But that's the answer. If they ask you some question, and by the way, even if you know the answer, that's still the right. You still want to put it aside. You know, you may have studied long and hard on all the scriptures that show how we ought to reasonably believe in creation rather than evolution. You may have a lot of answers for that, but now's not the time for that. Now we're trying to get through the gospel, okay? And we're trying to get to the gospel there. All right, so Paul declares the gospel unto them. Now we're going to go Romans 5:8. We're showing them the good news. But God commended His love toward us. Commended means demonstrated. Commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Notice what we're doing. We're finding out where they're at, what they believe. Because later on, when we lead them to pray, we won't have to ask them about that. They've already told us that. Okay? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? By the way, if they say, well, where does the Bible say that? Where would you go? Anybody? Any verse? John 3:16. Okay? That's, for God so loved the world, what? He gave His only begotten Son. There you go. So the Bible says... they hopefully will agree with that. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe He died on the cross for your sins and rose again? We're just asking them if they believe what they've just read. See what I'm saying? All right. So now we go to the last one. A was admit you're a sinner. B was believe the gospel. And then C, call upon Jesus to forgive you and save you. And this is where we're what they call closing the net. We're hoping that they'll continue to yield, that we'll get a chance to witness to them and to lead them in prayer. And so we show them, we're showing them the good news. Romans 6:23b, we already showed them A. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a wonderful, wonderful verse. The gift of God. And eternal life is a gift. Most people don't realize that. And what? You cannot earn a gift. There's only two things you can do with a gift. What's that? Receive it or reject it. That's the only two things you can do with a gift, is receive it or reject it. Well, how do we receive God's gift? Obviously, it's not something tangible that I can reach out and grab it. How do we receive God's gift? We receive God's gift of eternal life by calling upon Jesus Christ in faith to forgive us and save us. We've already discovered, if we're this far, that they believe in hell and they deserve to go there. They believe Jesus is the Son of God and He died for their sins and rose again. We've already discovered that. And now we're asking them what? Call upon Him to forgive you and save. There's the Bible promise, Romans 10:13. That's the next verse you go to. For what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Two parts to that. There's our part and God's part. What's our part? Call upon the name of the Lord. What's God's part? Shall be saved. That's God's part. And how simple... the simplicity that is in Christ in getting saved is so wonderful. And now you want to, they've come this far, you want to lead them in a sincere prayer. I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer to ask Jesus to forgive you and save. If you'd like to be saved, you could just bow your head with me and pray this prayer after me. And I often tell them at this point, there's no magical prayer that can save you. There are no magical words that can save you. But if you will pray this prayer after me, and if you mean it from your heart, God will hear you and save you. And then say, would you pray with me? And then you can bow your head, and when you say, would you pray with me? That's their chance to say no, or no thank you. But keep right on rolling if they're not resisting, okay? Would you pray with me? Just bow your head. And then you lead them. And the dot, dot, dots is there, you say, is what you, is how you lead them. Dear Lord Jesus, you pause. Let him repeat. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I'm sorry for my sins. There's that repentance. As best I know how, you're letting them repeat now. I place my trust in your death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for my sins. Please forgive me for my sins and save me. Let them repeat it. Please forgive me, or please come into my heart and help me to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That's a simple prayer of faith. If they pray that prayer, anything with that content and mean it from their heart, what's going to happen? God's promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Shall be saved. And that's basically it. I've tried to condense that. I even talked more tonight than you need to. You have really everything that you need to right on here. Learn these things. The hardest part, many times, is what? Getting out there and filling the seat. Okay, it's getting out there and being out there. The scripture says, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." It's getting out there among the lost, among the people, and be willing to reach out to them as best you can. And by the way, God will use you as you go out. He'll work in your heart. And the fair was a blessing. I think we saw 17 saved, I think, the first time, and not quite as many the second time. But it was a blessing to our hearts just to be able to share the gospel so many times, to go through that, to talk about Christ. And what a blessing it is for God's people, to be involved in that. So I would encourage you to be prayerful of that and be involved if your schedule allows you. And God will bless you. Does anybody have any questions for me about it? Lynn?
How come you don't use Romans 10:9 again? That's the way I was always taught to.
You could. Like I said, I pared this down to make it real simple. Romans 10:9-10 that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You could use those. I don't think it's necessary with the truths that we have in here, because we've showing them what believing is. They talked about trusting in the Lord and those things. You could use where we have Romans 10:13. If you want to put Romans 10:9, 10, and 13 in, that's fine. A lot of people do that. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I think sometimes those verses lean to a little bit more explaining to somebody who's not familiar with scriptural things. That the idea that, I have to confess with my mouth. Well, that's actually a result of, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the really scriptural truth of those verses is, when you believe in your heart, you will confess with your mouth. And someone who's not familiar with the Bible may think, okay, I have to believe in my heart and I have to confess with my mouth before I'm saved. Actually, that's not what it teaches. It teaches, if you believe in your heart, you will confess unto salvation. If you're a true believer, you're not going to say, "No, I never trusted Jesus." you're not going to deny that you've not trusted him, or that you've trusted him.
I think a lot of people ask, "Can't I just pray quietly in my head?" But to me, that scripture is saying, if you're not ashamed, you're really trusting,
yes,
you're not going to hesitate to call upon the Lord and pray out loud.
Right.
And since he does say confession is made with the mouth,
to me
that means you need to use your mouth. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've just heard a lot of people say things about praying out loud.
Yeah. I have experienced that myself. I've experienced either people that just don't want to do it,
Or, but the people that I've been able to lead to the Lord, I've never had that problem of can I just pray by myself alone? I haven't experienced that much. So, because I think by the time you get down to the end, God's working, you know, and they're, you know, they're, you want to help them. I'd like to lead you or help. You could put, say, help you in a prayer, you know, and then, you know, I think the Lord will make them willing to pray if God's working in their heart. You don't want to put forth the idea, you know, you have to pray this prayer out loud or you're not going to be saved. You certainly don't want to convey that, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't think that would be right. Brother Brian.
So in the past we've used John 5:24 as kind of a culmination, a summary of some of his prayers. Is that how we're going to assurance? Could 9:10 be used in that sense?
Yes. As an assurance verse, and I didn't put, just for the sake of making it just succinct and kind of pared down here, I didn't put a follow up verses. I will be there, and we'll kind of teach that along the way. I give them some. If somebody does pray, we'll give them some follow up verses. A good follow up verse, one I love to use, is John 5:24. Stepping over that line, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That one, those would be a good one for that too. If, you know, the Bible says, whosoever believeth what? Shall not be ashamed. So what God wants you to do, if you have been saved, what God wants you to do is what? Confess with your mouth. You need to tell somebody you're saved. I remember that when I got saved, I was probably in church maybe two or three times in my life that I could remember. That was when I was just wee little. When I got saved, the deacon that led me to the Lord said, now you need to go home and tell somebody you got saved. And that time I was living with Lisa and I were together and living with her mom and dad. And, you know, I had hair down to here and a big old beard, you know, and all that. And certainly wasn't living for God, okay? And I was lucky to be alive at that point when I went to church. You know, and I went home there and told her dad, you know, I got saved. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior today. I got saved. And he kind of laughed, and it was another phase. Well, the phase is still going, amen. It's been over 30 years, okay? And God gave that courage. God gives that courage to confess, okay? So those are actually good assurance verses. Here's what God wants you to do. And we'll go as far as, sometimes we don't go far enough. In the Bible, what did they do? They got baptized the same day. So we have a now that I'm saved track back there. We'll have some of those that tells you what you ought to do. You ought to read your Bible, pray. You ought to join a Bible-believing church and get baptized as soon as possible. Because God doesn't save us just to get us to heaven. He saves us, and by the way, and after he saves you, if your heart's still beating, he saves you to be a disciple while you're here. He's looking for disciples, not people that just want a fire escape from hell, okay? He's looking for disciples, and he wants us to follow him. And salvation really is just a step towards following him. The end, as far as God's concerned, is not when you and I get born again. That's the beginning. That's just the beginning. The end is that we be like his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants as much of that now on this earth as possible, as much as we'll yield to him. And he'll finish the job when Jesus Christ comes. Amen. Then we'll be like him as much as we'll ever be. But that's his end goal. And we encourage people to that after they've trusted Christ as Savior. And that is a way where we become our own judge. By the way, that's what the whole book of 1 John is all about. It says, here's how you can really know you're saved. Are these things in your life? Examine yourself. Because we've already told them what? Praying a prayer doesn't save anybody. If you mean it from your heart, which is true, you'll be saved. But how do you know you mean it from your heart? See, there's so much scriptural stuff there because our heart's deceitful. How do you know? How do I know I meant it? I know by examining my own life. Because the Holy Spirit will give boldness to confess Christ. The Holy Spirit will give boldness to follow Lord and believers' baptism. The Holy Spirit will give boldness. There will be a change in the life of a Christian. Well, I accepted Jesus Christ years ago. Nothing really changed, but you better check your spiritual birth certificate, okay? The creator of the universe doesn't come into your heart and then you have nothing change, okay? That just don't happen. And God's going to change something, for sure. So, good question. That's good. And any others? Any other question about Charles?
Yeah, what do you
expect from your house? Good question. It's going to be hot. So wear your lightest suit and tie, and I'm just kidding. So summer clothes are acceptable. Some will have shorts. I would ask that shorts be longer than fingertip length. Try to be aware, of when you're sitting down and what people may see looking at you sitting down from a distance and such, and try to be aware of that. So shorts, loose fitting clothing, fingertip length at least, or longer on shorts. But undergarments, I don't think we have that problem here. Some preachers have to worry about that. And undergarments have their purpose, and wear them and have garments over them, okay? Some people today just wear the undergarments, pretty much. And we want both, okay? Have those. Probably not sleeveless. Or spaghetti straps, rather, something like that. Probably not like that, stuff like that. This group, I don't have to worry about tube tops, those kind of things. But modest clothing, light clothing, and that'll be fine. Any other good? That's good. Any other questions? Stephanie. Okay, Brother Austin just did for me a sign-up sheet back there. The hours, it is August 2nd through August 5th. And the hours where the booth will be running will be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. Well, Dennis has it right there. So we'll just leave it back there for now, Brother Dennis. So what we need you to do is, whatever hours you may be able and willing to work, sign up, put it on that sheet. And put your name or initials by it, and put it on that sheet. Even if, how are we going to do this? I was thinking, even if somebody else has already put it in for those hours.
There's room for four right now.
Okay.
Put underneath
the okay. Five. Yeah. Even if someone else has put the same, because we may have to shuffle you. We may not be able to give you, like, if you just put in for 1 hour. There'll be times when it may be only me there, and I may not be able to have just one lady come or something. So for that reason, we may have to shuffle people around. So don't just put in one place. Put in whatever you'd be willing to work, and we'll shuffle them around and get that figured out. Also, just so you know. We have the fair provides tickets. So the general for workers, your general ticket will be paid, and your parking ticket will be either free or taken care of as well. So we're allowed, I think, four or five workers a day in the booth. So we probably limit it to that, so that each one of those four or five workers would have a ticket. Ideal probably would be two or three. The booth's only 10 foot, so we'd probably go maybe at the max four, in the booth at a time, and to go from there. We could squeeze five in there if somebody wanted to get in, just didn't have a chance any other time, just wanted to be there and stuff. We could do that, but ideally four or at the most or two or three. But that's the sheet back there. If you have questions about that, you can see Brother Austin too, as far as signing up. Brother Dennis?
During the prayer time in times past, we have free entry for veterans, sometimes senior citizens.
Yes.
Stuff like that. So you might
right.
Check the website, or
right.
We can find some.
Yes. So I'll be out there this week finding out some of that stuff as well. finishing up some, getting, paying for the booth and such, and getting some of those details in order. So you may free day for veterans, for seniors and such. So you may want to come, on one of those days, and do your time there on those days. That would be good too. All right. A couple other hints. It'll be hot, so we'll have water there. You may want to bring a little spritzer bottle or something. Some people have those little fans, they're spritzer bottles. Miss Pat made us the rice thing. I still have one of those. It's a little rice sack that you put around your neck, and it absorbs the water, and it helps keep you cool. You put it on because your what is that? Carotid, what's that artery called?
Carotid
artery. Yeah, it's right. It comes right up through there. And boy, I tell you, I walk to my bus back and forth sometimes. It's pretty hot, and I use one of those. And you would be surprised how that helps keep you cool, because it stays on that artery there and cools the blood pumping through there. So it works. But you might bring a little bottle, something to be cool with. We'll have plenty of cold water there, so that'll be available for you as well. I like to use mints. Be kind one to another, the Bible says. So I like to bring mints, and I use them on visitation, and I'll be using them at the booth, and they're always never a bad thing to have. All right. Brother Charles. Well, that's going to be whatever you're available to do. I didn't want to set it like a 4-hour shift or a 2-hour shift, because some people may not have that, So it's what you can do. If you want to, want to come and be there for half a day, you say, I'm going to be there half a day. Put it down there, make the arrow go through for whatever 4 hours you want, because it is what 11 hours. Is that right? Yeah, 11 hours. It's run open and running. Okay. For four days in a row, so whatever days you want to be, you want to be there, whatever hours you want to spend, and we do, it will be helpful to get as many as we can in it, and even longer if you can, and I will be there, as long as I need to be, so I look forward to it, and serving the Lord, and it's going to be good, and getting the gospel out, being an ambassador, amen, and. Getting the gospel out. It's an opportunity, and I really felt the Lord laying it on my heart this year to have the booth again, and so I'm looking forward to it. Any other questions? All right, and we'll bring you more details about it. As I go up there and get the sheet filled out and all that, we'll get that lined up. We probably would want to get the details wrapped up. I'm guessing August 2nd is when it starts, so. Definitely, by the beginning of the first of the last week of July, we'd want to be, have everybody signed up, and that way, a week ahead of time, we're all set, and ready to go as far as who's going to be there and when. So don't delay in getting that filled out there. Do that within the next couple weeks. That sheet back there, whatever times you're willing to work, get that filled out within the next couple weeks. And then we can take that and get that scheduled in that last week there and shuffled around there and hopefully be done in time and ready to go. Amen? Amen. All right. Any other questions? All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your love. I thank you for coming here. And God, I thank you for the opportunity to do the fair booth. Lord, it'll be a blessing, I know. Lord, if you tarry and we have that opportunity to witness, and it'll be good for us. It'll be an opportunity to get the gospel out. And Lord, it will be a labor, but we think about how you came, the time that you chose to come. You chose to come at a time when you had to walk everywhere, and you didn't walk through cool valleys most of the time. You walked through a lot of desert. You have walked many miles for us. You have suffered beyond what we could imagine
for us. We thank you and praise you for that. And God, we understand that when we suffer for you, if we do something that's just maybe a little uncomfortable at times, a little hard at times, we look back, we never regret it. We'd never regret it. Oh, God, I thank you for that. And you always give grace during the time. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship, a wonderful time of serving you and glorifying your name. And Father, help us prepare for it. Guide us in that. Prepare even now people to come, and we would pray to be saved and to have their lives changed, that Christians, that we'd be challenged, that Christians that we talk to, there would be challenged in their witness also to be witnesses for you. And God, you can just be glorified in so many ways through this. Help us by your blessed Spirit, we pray, and for the glory of your Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.